Have you ever been in a situation or faced something and in the process were confronted with how weak your faith was in that moment or how weak your faith was for that thing? It just seemed bigger than anything you've believed for before. And so there are just those things sometimes that expose the weakness of our faith. Jesus forever exists in union with mankind. Jesus forever exists before God as union with you and me. When he clothed himself with our humanity, that represented your humanity and your humanity and my humanity, just like when he went to the cross, he didn't just die for us, he died as us, as you and as me. We went in his person to the place of penalty for our sins to be paid for, paid for in Christ. And when Jesus was crucified and resurrected, he didn't let go of his humanity and go back to just being God. Jesus is forever the God-man. And so Jesus represents you in the fellowship of the Trinity. He represents your humanity. You're there in him. That's your ticket. There's a scripture that we've referenced a lot, and we will continue to reference a lot because it's one of those bell cow verses. And it's Galatians 2:20. And Galatians 2:20, written in the King James, is most accurate. The New American Standard is like the best Bible, but they get it wrong because their foundation is wrong. They force a preposition or a language, grammar, to fit what they think it must mean instead of just letting it say what it says. So Galatians 2:20 says, this is from the New American Standard, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And then what we've talked about a lot over the years and discovered is that the proper translation is, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Every time I read that, it's like a fresh word to me. My trust is that over the years, as long as I live, you won't get tired of hearing this because I don't get tired of hearing it. Unfortunately for you, if I'm not getting tired of something, then you need to pray that you don't, because it'll keep coming out. But think about what that scripture says. Again, I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now, when he describes himself, he says, there is an I that no longer exists. I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. There's me, but it's a different me. And the only way Paul could describe the new me is a me that's indwelt by Christ, who's in union with Christ. How big is that? How big is that, that it's now Christ who lives in you? There's you, but Christ who lives in you. We know it says in Colossians 3 that you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's your life. You can't describe your life, you can't describe yourself as a Christian, as a person, apart from saying, oh, my life is hidden with Christ in God. That's my life. And then he goes to the next verse. The Christ who is your life, when Christ who is your life is revealed. My life is hidden with Christ in God, therefore Christ is my life. I'm crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but I used to be, doing the best they could on their own. But it is Christ now living in me. So anything that Jesus has the potential to do, in any lifestyle that Jesus has the potential to live, I have the potential to experience. I can't be holy because I'm trying to be holy. I can only be holy because the one who lives in me is holy. When it comes to praying for somebody who's had a headache or has cancer, Jesus is no more threatened by cancer than he is headache. Jesus never measures his faith by how big the problem is. He always measures his faith by how big God is. And I'm in union with his humanity. And that's why he says, and the life which I now live, the way I live this life of Christ living in me, is the faith of the Son of God. So, if that's true, then that lifts the burden off of you and me about whether we have weak faith or not at times. Because our faith is simply a response that we're living by his faith. And therefore, our faith or weak faith gets caught up into his faith. And Jesus is perfect faith. He's the author and the perfecter of faith. That's why sometimes if you're talking to me about a situation you're going through, and I'm hearing with the ears of sympathy, and I don't want it to come across unsympathetic when I say to you, when we're finished, but Jesus has faith for that. Because that's not meant to just be a Christian slogan. It's not patting you on the shoulders and saying, okay, I'm glad you told me, now go your way. I'm trying to tell you how to stop worrying about whether you have faith for this or not. The burden's not on you to have faith for this. The burden's on him. And ours is just a response to that. That's why it only takes the faith of a mustard seed to move a mountain, because mustard seed faith included into his perfect faith is enough faith. That's how we rest. If you rest, Bracken's resting. You got to rest on something. He's resting on that pew. We rest in faith, the faithfulness of Jesus. That's remarkable to me. So when he says, in my weaknesses, his strength is made perfect. How many weaknesses does that cover? All of them. All of them. Including faith. Let me just share this with you. This also includes worship. Because you and I are in union with the perfect humanity of Jesus forever, with Jesus, the God-man, we worship in his name. And this will transform your experience of worship. If you'll realize the next time you come to a worship service, or if you're at home worshiping to some worship music like I do, my prayer time with the Lord, know that you now are caught up in his worship of God. How intense and real and pure is the worship of the triune God among each other? I'm in him. And I'm participating in his relationship with the Father by the Holy Spirit. And that includes my worship. It's transformative. You find yourself caught up, conscious of that it's Christ himself, that you're participating in his worship of God. It says in 2 Timothy 2:13, that even when we believe not, he abides faithful, because he cannot deny himself. Oh, so it's not about myself? I thought this whole faith thing was about myself. And that's why so many Christians, their approach to faith is so self-centered. And if your faith is self-centered, in other words, your faith, then it's going to have its ups and its downs. And the enemy will eventually find the extremities of your faith. And the Lord will let him do that to tell you there's a better place, there's an upgrade in your that you can travel in, that you can rest in. And that's his faith. Doesn't matter whether you have faith for it or not. Does he? That's the only question. Is he faithful? And then you can quit sweating it. Quit feeling guilty or burdened that you don't have enough faith. You've been carrying a false burden. He is perfect faith. And you're in union with him. So when I hear this verse again, it just blows my mind. I've been crucified with Christ. Oh, you mean the Chuck that got it so wrong, that lived in fear and terror and anxiety and self-centeredness, that person who just couldn't make life work and screwed up, when he did try to work life, he screwed it up, that person died? There's no longer I that lives. There's a new me. And he says, Christ, who lives in me. And the way I live this life, it's so complicated. We make it so complicated. I live, if he's my life, then it makes sense. If he's living in me, then I live by the faith of the one who's living in me. And in good North Alabama lingo, he ain't scared of nothing or anxious about anything. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.